This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Chuck spoke to us last week of Paul's letters, giving us some criteria for knowing which letters are authentically his and which were more likely written by his followers in his name, which was perfectly acceptable in those times. You may remember that Paul's letters have an urgency about them because he is certain that Jesus is coming right back. But as time goes on, his letters lose that sense of urgency. And in the later letters, we can see that enough time has passed that Paul and his people are starting to have some worry about how all this resurrection and afterlife and God's reappearance is supposed to work. These later letters are marked with anxiety and what is clearly a crisis of faith. Jesus has not come back. They are still waiting. Some people among them have died and entered into the afterlife, or have they? They have gone on to the greater life before Christ's return, and there is a lot of concern about whether or not they will be caught up in the resurrection in his intended return. They are losing hope, simply put. I wonder if you have ever had a crisis of faith. Maybe you've had a health crisis and suffered deeply in pain, asking for relief or for God's presence and not felt it. Maybe you've asked for God to show you or someone you love the way through mental health crisis, but have not found a solution besides not living here anymore. Perhaps you are wondering if and when God will intervene on behalf of Sudan, or how far we will fall before this country figures out how to get back on its feet, if and when the shutdown ever ends. Perhaps if you were paying attention during the epistle reading in the lectionary, you would saw that Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians is in sort of crisis also. And perhaps you realize that humankind has some behaviors that we tend to repeat. Perhaps you heard some familiarity there and wondered if this may be happening now today. And no matter how you vote, these words and concerns will sound familiar to you. Here's what it said. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Now, it is clear to me that Paul has told his disciples this before, and maybe even that he's a little irritated because they've forgotten. I get it, Paul. I hate repeating myself, and my kids, if you talk to them, will affirm this. But the truth is that even the most faithful among us need reminders. It is so incredibly easy to lose our way, particularly when we are in crisis. We lose track of ourselves as if toppled by a wave and trapped in the rip. We cannot see clearly in the upheaval and cannot figure out which way is up. Paul is putting them back on their feet here. He is reminding them what to do so they do not remain lost. Stand firm, he says, and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Hold fast, he says. There's a similar conflict in today's gospel reading, this same pattern of rebellion and wondering who God really is. Jesus has proclaimed by word and by action that he is God, the Son of the Father. The Sadducees do not believe that he is the Messiah, and they are pushing back, no doubt thinking he is the lawless one of their time. The Sadducees follow only the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, those of Moses. And therefore, Jesus answers their question using only those teachings and not the whole of the Hebrew Bible from which Jesus himself teaches. Now, that is important because he is using their own story against them, pushing back with their own teachings. And he does this sort of flippantly, maybe even humorously, with a touch of snark, perhaps. And in doing so, he sort of exposes them. And I'm betting if we were standing there in that moment, it would have been very hard to know who was more correct, the Sadducees who had the power in that moment, or Jesus who appeared to be the lawless one. The Sadducees who do not believe in resurrection and are trying to expose Jesus by saying how preposterous it would be to arrive in heaven with seven husbands based on the way their Redeemer laws work. Or Jesus, who is claiming to be God, who believes that we will indeed be raised up in the resurrection from the dead, and as such will neither marry nor be given in marriage there, and cannot die anymore. How could you know in that moment which is more correct without the benefit of Christ's resurrection to look to? They hadn't even seen resurrection yet. It's all theory at this point for them. How confusing that must have been. Well, we're in a confusing place too. Most of our days lately feel like we are in the midst of that kind of rebellion where the lawless one may be revealed, the one destined for destruction. Or we may be in the midst of our own toppling politically or psychically or personally. And we just may be feeling like we don't know where or who God is and what to expect from God in this moment or in any other. You may not know which end is up right now. I want to name that, to say the quiet part out loud. Hold fast, Paul says. Let us also take a moment to sit with the words spoken through Haggai, where God says, "Take courage, all you people of the land. Work, for I am with you, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor." Loved ones, God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that glory isn't just redemption, friends. We may not simply be redeemed. As our colleague Joseph Yu said yesterday, if we are redeemed only, then we can still go on in this life to be part of systems that corrupt and do harm to people. This is not simply about redemption, no. What we're talking about in these passages is resurrection. Resurrection that disrupts the evil and pain and suffering of this life, all of it. The narrative of rebellion and lawlessness cannot even continue once we are resurrected. Full stop. Resurrection is a promise that we will encounter God face to face, that this world will be made new, and that all of the concerns and the suffering and the illness we face here will fall away, not even existing as a memory. It simply will no longer be. All of the trauma, all of the loss, all hopelessness will be gone. No more power over, no more oppression, no more fear. And if you are wondering about the pain and suffering of this life that you're living now, I beg you to hold fast. And I beg you to look more closely at the resurrection, to look at the life that is to come, even if you cannot rest for the pain that you carry. Know that God, as Jesus tells the Sadducees, is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. You see, friends, we do not die at the end of our time here. We have not yet lived. We are not here on this earth to suffer, but as we all inevitably will, God will make all things right by bringing us to life at the end of our time here. God can justify all things, even the cross. Until that time, loved ones, hold fast. Come to here to us whenever you can. Stand together as Episcopalians when you are not here and pray the prayers you were taught by us, so that you and others may benefit from our shared faith. If you do not yet know our traditions and rich history, join a formation class and let us teach them to you so that you can engage with us in our rich prayer life. You will be better for it. That is a promise. They and we will put you upright again when you inevitably lose your way. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.